Heading back to your calls on that Werribee open line very shortly. But time for a bit of a trade update thanks to Tyre Power. Big footy finals sale now on. And let's have a look at the trade period from the St Kilda side of things. St Kilda Chief Operating Officer Simon Lethlean's on the line. Welcome to you, Simon. Great to have you on the program.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
I'm good. You've been signing up a few players, I understand, in the last couple of days, which is great news. Ben Patton, Jack Bytel. So a few are starting to get their signatures down.
Yeah, it's been obviously a pretty condensed period of time up in Queensland where we managed to move a few of those deals down the track a bit such that they could be completed. Now that we've had a chance to take a bit of a breath. So, James Gallagher's done a good job there with, Benny Patton played every game this year. He's, become a regular part of that back six. And Jack Bytel, after an interrupted sort of 2019, found his way into our team in 2020 and showed some pretty solid glimpses of some midfield action you'll see for a while now. So really pleased to sign those two kids up.
And you've got a few that that people are waiting to see whether you sign them. Jimmy Webster, Luke Dunstan, Jack Loney, Jack Carlisle. I think Seb Ross was mentioned on breakfast this morning. Can you give us a bit of a rundown?
Yeah, it's certainly a season for speculation. There's no doubt about that. But that's the world we live in. Look, Jimmy Webster and Luke Dunstan are contracted. So I guess they're being talked about because they, a bit like Jordan Clark just then, didn't find their way into the team at the pointy end of the year there. Loney and Carlisle have both got offers that they're considering, but I'm assuming quite rightly they're considering them in the landscape of what else they might be able to achieve. So, it's a busy time of year. Trade, free agency, signing up current players, trying to retain current players. You never know who's talking to who out there sometimes. So, we've got a handle on most stuff. But, again, James Gallagher's working pretty hard on all of the above.
I heard Gary and Tim talking about the Seb Ross Essendon link. Anything to that at all?
Not that I'm aware of. Seb, again, he's contracted next year and finished off the year pretty strongly. I didn't tune in this morning to Gaz and Tim, but that one hadn't trickled back to me, to be honest.
Wow, he didn't tune in. That'll get back to him. Brad Crouch, where's that all at?
I guess pleasingly for us, Brad's indicated a desire to be traded to the Saints, which is always the first step. And I guess once players make that sort of nomination, they're sort of happy to talk about it. There's obviously a fair bit of water to go under the bridge there. I think the free agency window timings, start tomorrow when you can, start to lodge paperwork for consideration. But obviously, given he's a restricted free agent, the Crows will have the final say on some of that. So James Gallagher's working pretty closely with Brad's manager about what our offer will look like. And once that's submitted, it'll be in the hands of the AFL and the Crows as to where that ends up. So there's still a bit of work to do there because it's, we have to structure the deal the way we think is best. And if that leaves it still at risk that the Crows can match that offer, then Brad won't be coming our way. So there's a bit of work to do.
You can negotiate, obviously, a trade. So what's the likelihood of that?
Yeah, look, if the Crows elect to match, obviously, the player either stays or you organise a trade. We've only got, as per usual, we've only got a certain amount of assets by which to facilitate a trade. Our preference, our strong preference would be to receive the player under free agency. That's all part of the dance, that if the deal is such that the Crows want to match it, that's their right as the rules permit. So, a little bit of grey, a little bit of speculation, and I guess we'll see where it all ends up in the days ahead.
What's likely that you'll do with pick 15, which might end up, 17, 18, 19, but what's the likelihood that you'd do with that?
Oh, look, our intention is to use our first round draft pick this year. We didn't do so last year. We had pick 6, which I think turned into 10 and 18 and all sorts of different stuff, given the work we had to do last year to improve our list during trade period, which was a really successful period for the club. So our intention at this stage is certainly to use our first round pick this year. And there are rules in place too that mean you have to use it two times out of every 4 years. So it'd certainly be our preference to be using it this year to pick the best talent we can, whether that's, mid key or otherwise. But that's the job of James Gallagher and his team, Chris Vittori and Chris Toccia, have been watching as much footy as possible this year, even though there wasn't as much as there normally was.
But it's to use it on a kid, not trade with it.
Oh, ideally not, yeah. I mean, it's sort of part of all this this discussion around free agency. We don't want to be using our first round pick this year for trade. We want to use it for picking. We need to every couple of years, ideally every year, you want to bring the best young talent you can from the draft in. So it's certainly our intention as we sit here today.
Jack Higgins.
Yeah, Jack. I mean, again, I sort of said before, it's the season of speculation now, and sort of wary about commenting on individuals, especially contracted ones. But if someone signals their intention they want to come to the Saints, so be it. But we certainly haven't heard anything to confirm that at this stage.
So you're not sounding that confident about him coming to the club?
Oh, well, we don't have an indication that he's told Richmond or his management that the Saints is where he wants to get to. My understanding is he's under contract. And we're sort of in mid discussions now with Jack Loney as well, who's in a similar position on the ground. But we're always interested to hear if good players want to come to the club, and then we consider if A, we can do it, and B, if we want them. But I think the public speculation around Jack is Jack Higgins is ahead of where Jack Higgins certainly is, insofar as what we know. But we'll watch with interest if players signal they want to come to the Saints and take it from there. But it certainly isn't there at this stage.
Would you look at Adam Treloar?
Adam Treloar's a very good player, but I don't think we have the assets or the cap at this stage to be considering Adam Treloar. It certainly isn't one we've had to consider because there's been no option available to us, but I don't think it's for us.
Do you think Paddy McCartan will play in 2021 somewhere?
I don't know. I guess the thing for Paddy is he's got time on his side, in some ways, a delisted free agent that can be listed by anyone, any time. So for Paddy the person and Paddy the footballer, I hope he's playing. And the main thing for Paddy the person is that he's feeling fit and healthy and well, which was always the key, and he is. So that's the starting point, and I guess see what transpires from there.
How do you pick your captain at St Kilda? Is it a player vote? Is it the football department decides it outright?
I mean, it can be however you want to set it up year to year. In the time that I've been at the Saints, when Gears has been captain, it's been, in my view, it's been a discussion with the playing group as to who they think is their preference, and then it's really a decision for the football department, I guess, led by me and the senior coach and other key people, which in our place is James Gallagher and David Rath. But then it's signed off by the board. So it's a bit of a process, but in my view, it certainly isn't a flat-out vote from the playing group. It needs to all marry up a bit.
And that gets assessed at the end of every season? So will again at the end of now that this one's done?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think club captains have a defined tenure that means that they don't get looked at every year. So we'll certainly look at that. And I reckon Gears would want it that way too. He's been a terrific captain, someone I've got to know since I've been at the club. His leadership skills are fantastic. So, it's something we'll assess across the course of pre-season and make that decision, I suppose, around the February, March time like we normally would.
Do other clubs know, do other players know what other players are on? If you bring in Brad Crouch, for example, do you have to be careful about where he slots in the money scale, player to player?
Look, I think conjecture and attention is enough that players that are interested in that sort of stuff can try and work out a band of where players are. Generally the speculation is always higher than it is lower. So players that are interested can sort of work that out. In the end, there's 40-odd players that fit into a number, and that can ebb and flow across the course of the year. There's not many players that are on the same number in year one as they are in year two or three, and that's part of the juggling act of list management, which is a significantly jigsaw-y type role to get that all right. So, yeah, you've got to be conscious that, you sign players up at your own club during the course of the year for X, and you don't generally bring players in for less, especially if they're good players. So there's a fair bit in all that, but you hope that if there's issues around that, your communication with your playing group is strong enough that you get to the bottom of the best result for the club.
So you essentially tell your players, don't believe what's in the press, the 650 or whatever the figure is for Brad Crouch. It's not true. He, you don't tell them what the figure is, but you tell them not to believe the press.
I don't think it's anyone's right to be told what other people are earning, including you and me. We would hope that our playing group is mature enough, and it is growing to be a very mature group now and connected, that if anyone wants to speak to James Gallagher or I about a concern about what a player is receiving, we'd have a pretty mature conversation about that. In the end, we're trying to get better, trying to improve the list. And across the course of people's careers, that their salaries will ebb and flow in the highs and lows of football and form and performance. So, again, I think pretty mature clubs can handle that stuff pretty well.
What does get released is how long you get signed for. So what kind of length of contract would you offer Brad Crouch?
Yeah, you probably do get a bit more released in free agency scenarios than you do in other trades. Look, I think it's up to Gags and Brad's managed to work out what tenure is best for Brad for security to move, and what tenure is best for our club for this demographic. But you wouldn't be giving away too much to suggest that to get a player across, it'd need to be 3 years or more. Whether it lands at three, whether four is guaranteed, all that sort of stuff is all part of the negotiation. So, there's a fair bit to do still to bed down what we think's the right deal, and then for others to decide whether that means he comes or stays.
When do you think you'll find out what the salary cap's going to be?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a large piece of work, a significant piece of work for the AFL to negotiate with the AFLPA. So I know that the AFL's view is as soon as possible. In the meantime, the best that clubs can do is negotiate their player deals, but with an asterisk that's understood amongst all that there's going to potentially be a reduction of X percent based on what that negotiation is. So it's not ideal, but this whole year's been less than ideal, and this is just one of the final pieces in the 2020 saga that needs to get done in what has been an unbelievable year from the AFL in solving problems.
We wouldn't get more games next year to try and help the players get as close to 100% as possible. We wouldn't get a 25-game season or something like that.
I'd be surprised, but that's not something that that I can influence. I'd be surprised if there's more games next year. It's 22 games plus 4 weeks of finals is a long year for these athletes. But, again, if the AFL strike a deal that works for everyone that has more games in it, I don't think you'll get any pushback from the industry. The flexibility and the ability to adjust is the greatest it's ever been in the AFL, especially amongst the clubs. So, whatever's best for the comp, but I don't see that on the horizon, but I wouldn't know for sure.
You're an ex-AFL general manager of game development as well. So if it was 18 minutes quarters next year or 16 or 20, that would be part of your decision-making if you were still there. What do you think might happen?
Well, I think they made the right call this year in reducing it because being there, I guess at a club and seeing the turnarounds, the training that was permitted, which wasn't as combative as normal, and the environments we were all in, it was the right thing to have shorter matches. My personal view is that that the games before this year were becoming quite long, with quarters heading into the 30s, which I don't think anyone needs. So my personal view is that they should probably add a couple of minutes back on each quarter, but not necessarily go back to where it was. But again, that's a personal view. For those in those roles, there'll be discussion amongst the industry, the broadcasters and head office about what's best for the game. So I'm sure they'll get there on that.
Yeah, it's just that you're the third person in the last couple of weeks to mention that you reckon 18 minutes is about right, that Goldilocks just right period, third quarter.
Well, it's a pretty basic response, I suppose, for me, isn't it, to add a bit more on but not go back to where it was. So, 18 minutes pretty becomes your 26, 27-minute style quarters as compared to your 16s, which were 22, 23, and that feels about right. Once you start going into the 30 zone, that's a fair load on the playing group. But, there'll be smarter people than me involved now, Dwayne.
And if they decided on the draw to have a third of the season and wait to see who the good-performed teams are and then give the slots up for the second and third thirds of the season, depending on who was playing good, exciting footy, would you be in for that, or do you like the whole 22 weeks locked in and loaded?
I'm a bit of a hybrid on that. I think I I think to the AFL's credit, Marcus King did an unbelievable job this year being able to manoeuvre that fixture into what worked for teams and what worked for TV. So fantastic job. And the AFL in doing that has broken the back a bit of the dependence of clubs on certainty around when they're playing. So I'd be more than comfortable if the AFL released, you know, the 22 teams you were playing across the 22 rounds but didn't release the slots until an appropriate, you know, period of time before those games. I'd be more than comfortable with that, and it allows the high-performing teams to get better slots and for the best TV product to be delivered, and it makes a fair bit of sense.
And you had a good year. You must be pretty happy with the year, as happy as you can be for a team that didn't make the grand final. But you're in the window for 2021, no doubt.
Yeah, we had a really pleasing year, Dwayne. It's funny how fast you move on. I mean, for the environment that we were in, for us to show growth, play well, provide a bit of joy back in Victoria to our massive Saints fans, and for those Saints that were on the Sunshine Coast, you know, we made some new friends up in Noosa as well, which is fantastic. But now for us to make finals and justify our position in there by beating a good side to get in, and then to beat a good team in the finals and have a win, I think it made us realise that we were where we should be, but really conscious that good teams play finals all the time, and our next step in our growth is to match it with the big boys, to get back in there again, give ourselves a chance, and just to start winning more than 1 week. So it was great, but not good enough. We need to keep getting better, and there's room for that, which is the exciting part. And players like Ross and Billings and the like that hadn't played finals before have got a sniff of it now, and they want some more.
Great to have you, Simon. I really appreciate you joining me for an extended chat. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne. Cheers, mate.
Simon Lethlean, St Kilda Chief Operating Officer, talking trade, talking St Kilda, talking a couple of big-name guys like Brad Crouch and Jack Higgins. That trade update for CMC Markets, award-winning platforms with over 30 years trading experience. Take some of your calls after the break. Got a little window of opportunity. So if you want to jump on the line, 1-300-736-736. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. They're open for business at this time. Werribee Kia, for you to buy a car online or over the phone from Janan and Aid and Jim and the team. Just give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Australia's number one selling Kia dealership. 1-300-736-736. And the 2020 Premier's Edition is out now. Just $10 from the Richmond Merchandise Store and your local news agency as well. If you haven't had enough of Richmond winning the flag, you can get even more of it, and you can have it for eternity on your shelf. A break, your calls.